At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello and welcome to Future Imperfect. I'm your host, Admiral Phillips, and joining me in this endeavor into the great beyond of Star Trek is...
I think I'm Commander or Lieutenant Commander. I think I'm Lieutenant Commander, Dodd.
You're Commander, but you don't do anything, so you're Commander useless. And
so clearly I am fit for the rank and responsibilities of command. It's up to my underlings. Here, go do shit in the turbo shafts.
Demote you to ensign.
No.
And does that make me like a? Am I even commissioned? Am I like a non-commissioned officer at this point or something?
I don't know. I'd have to look. To be honest,
can I just be Barclay? I just want to be Barclay the whole time. That's all.
He's awesome. No, actually, in our SFI, we have a total of 8 members.
And oh, good God. I'm pretty sure has done everything.
I was going to say, I am a part of that.
Yours expired.
It does. Oh, it did. I'm still a member, apparently, though. I still get all the emails. And
you're an inactive roster member.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know how every star, Starfleet starship has to have that super go-getter? Mm-hmm. I'm the guy down in maintenance that one day you had to go down there and they found me sleeping there and they're like, wait, you've been on the payroll for 3 years and my job is to make sure this one light doesn't flash. Because if it flashes, then I have to call Commander Data. It's my entire job is that light stays green and never changes. And
I believe you have my stapler.
And I replace the LED bulbs. That's it.
Data's eyes.
I knew a guy who was an electrician aboard a battleship. That was literally his only job, was to change light bulbs on the ship, and he made quite a lot of money doing that. I always thought it was ridiculous. I'm like, you went through basic training to change light bulbs? He's like, yep.
And in the case of an emergency, he also had to kill people, so. I mean.
Yeah, that's last resort. Otherwise, he'll throw light bulbs at him.
Broken light bulbs. It's like, oh, they're LEDs. They don't break. They just hit me and bounce off. But anyway, yes. Well, so we're here.
Yes, we are here. We are waiting. So anyways, we've had 2 Picard trailers drop since the last time we've done a Future Imperfect, as well as a Discovery trailer. And we're going to pretty much focus on Picard this episode. And I don't know if you guys have seen both trailers or not. I'm assuming so, being that that's what the topic is.
Yeah, I've seen both trailers, the teaser and then, that everybody saw, I think, in the world. And then the most recent one, which was it earlier this week or last week they dropped it?
The one,
yeah, it was Saturday.
The one from New York City Comic Con.
Yes. And to be honest, it's quite epic. Just seeing what they're bringing in. And there's a ton of unanswered questions just from the trailer alone, especially the second one. But after the first trailer, I had the thought that, multiple different directions that the whole Data thing could be, because it definitely looked like the B9 type of uniform that he was wearing, or could have been the film uniform. But it's leaning more towards these are Picard's hallucinations.
Yeah. At least one scene will be a hallucination.
Yes, at least one.
Or dream sequence. And I'm kind of wondering, because the way it sort of looks and the way it plays out for those brief couple seconds, is this similar to where he was getting flashbacks or could sort of hear echoes of the Borg? Is it that part of the brain activating?
See, I'm wondering that too. And I'm wondering if, one, Data is basically his conscious, consciousness that's helping him to cope with things and figure things out, or, you know, especially in his like old age, or if somehow, because there's, they allude to the fact that there's other androids being built, because there's F8, which if you, you know, spell it out as fate. And it's kind of funny because he almost looks like Commander Data without hair, except for the fact that he almost kind of resembles that Commander Maddox or Maddox from season 2 of Measure of a Man.
Oh, okay. Now,
who tried to get Data originally, and they found it basically against the Federation's constitution of sorts for Data, which meant any other android was fair game. And so with Data gone, they had fair game to try and recreate the Soong type robots.
Well, and that episode is critical too, because when the Blu-ray came out, that's the only episode of the entire franchise of all of them that's ever had an extended cut. And it's like a full 15 minutes longer, and that was the intended version. Yeah, so if you haven't seen it, they're on the Blu-rays, or you can probably find them online. I don't know if it's streaming, but there was a much longer cut that dealt more with the character study on that, as well as just the legal ramifications of it. And that was the director's intended vision, but then at the last minute, they cut it down to make it fit a regular episode length.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was like my singular reason for buying the Blu-rays.
Well, go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, I actually saw this episode in theaters back when the Blu-rays were coming out. Every so often, Paramount and whatever events company would show certain extended episodes in theaters. I remember seeing Encounter at Farpoint. I think they showed Q Who, but I remember Measure of a Man, and I think Inner Light were also shown in theaters.
It was all the two-parters they did that with, plus Measure of Man. Measure of Man also had like an extended, it's the only one I saw. It had like an extra 30 minutes to fill that hour and a half time slot. And that 30 minutes
was the
behind the scenes
documentary.
Yeah. They put that in there and then sort of explained why it was cut. And it was like, even CBS was like, we don't want to cut this, but because it's syndicated, there's no network to get permission from to display the full length one. And when they sell it to syndication, you sell it at that exact, you know, 47 minutes and 28 seconds or whatever each episode used to be. So there was no really way for them to show it. Then they forgot about it. And when they put the DVDs out, they literally did, they reused the DVDs were the TV masters. And when they went back and did everything to put it on Blu-ray, they actually found the canisters where they had filmed it.
One of the other interesting things with Measure of a Man, and I was watching an episode earlier as well, and it was called The Quality of Life. I don't know if you're familiar with that one, but it's the one where there's like a research facility and they're using exocomps, which are the little remote control droids essentially that they send into the shafts to kind of repair things. And at one point they start, Data starts discovering that they start having a mind of their own.
I remember that now.
And he's basically, Riker's like, we have to save Geordi and we have to save Picard. And Data locks out the transporter. And he's like, no, because they have the right to choose, you know. And so they have this thing back and forth. And you know, he argues that, you know, one life form for another is not justified. And, you know, based on his own experiences, he believes that the exocomps are alive like himself and therefore have the right to live. And so Data volunteers to beam over to fix it. And Riker points out that it'll ionize his positronic matrix, killing him. And then Data states that, you know, since he has the power to choose, he is within his rights to sacrifice himself for his comrades. The exocomps don't have such rights. And so, which he earned those rights with Picard in Measure of a Man. And so it's kind of funny that he mentions this and then it calls back to Nemesis where he actually does that for Picard. And
yeah, it's interesting how they are clearly going back to the lore from like different episodes, even in this trailer, like sort of the hints with that. It looks like Picard's entire, like from what I, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but train of thought was the entire show is going to be based around, like, they're showing that it's a lot of action, but it seems to be based very much so around a like philosophical debate over something.
Oh yeah, definitely. And it's surrounding the Borg, the Romulans, and it clearly now the androids as well, where it's like a philosophical thing of, you know, do you have the right to basically enslave, you know, beings just because like the Borg are being, you know, demechanized and used as slave labor with the Romulans and the Federation. And then there's the creation of all these Soon type androids. And so, you know, I guess that's, I could see why Picard in the second trailer would be as fired up as he is with the admirals. And, you know, they're basically like, go home. Cause he's like, I'm not going to stand for this. And they're like, that's not your house anymore. Get out.
Yeah. Well, the only other thing I could think of from that one scene with Data, you were saying is he his conscience? I'm wondering, is it a malevolent force that is tricking him into thinking it's Data?
Which I could see that too. I could definitely see that too. What I thought was really strange is they tapped back to the TNG uniforms with Picard and Data. And then Data's like, I get that he's aged, but they could have used some kind of digital sorcery to make it look halfway decent. Because his hair is like the goofiest thing on his head. And like, I get his face is like, they're doing what they can with it. You know, he's aged, so he's gotten wider, but
he's also a grumplesaurus and not a very nice person in real life. So,
yeah, well, but his hair was like so far off. It just looked fake. And like, I don't know. It just looked better in Nemesis, which is sad to say, because everybody panned that movie. I didn't have as big of a problem with it, but again, it's just kind of strange.
I liked it at the time. It was, it's one of the only movies I went to where people
like movie.
It was one of ours was, I think, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. When that
I was watching that when I was in high school, and I had that movie on a flash drive, and I showed people in class.
but I think the way that this is shot, it's not shot the same way, like the cinematography and everything. It's not shot the same way as Discovery, at least from what it shows in the trailer. It's not shot like TNG directly, maybe in some flashback scenes.
It's more like the movies of TNG.
And not so much Nemesis. Nemesis had a lot of first contact. I was going to say exactly. Insurrection looked like a better budget TV episode.
It was a better budget TV episode.
And Generations still had the look of the previous, like, original films. Whereas Nemesis had a very, not shaky cam, it wasn't quite there yet, but
it was very grungy and kind of bland.
And there was a lot more movement. The cameras were always moving. Whereas First Contact had a very cinematic look that was different. It almost felt like
you were there.
Yeah, like not that it was shot at a faster frame rate, but it was filmed more like a documentary. Like you were closer to them, even though it wasn't like they were blowing up the screen. Like it was still shot in widescreen and everything. But it felt like you were on the bridge. You were with them the whole time. And this has that same sort of look, the way the shots are composed. So if they go with that, I mean, they are picking the best of the modern movies.
Now, I'm going to start with Mike so that he's not sleeping. What were some of the best points or characters that you're happy that they're bringing back evolving?
Very happy to see them touch on Hugh again. That's something I thought they would just let go, but the fandom has always asked, well, whatever happened when he went back to the Borg. They kind of talked about it in Descent 1 and 2, but then after the, because that was a episode in Season 6, I think, they kind of let that go, and it was never answered.
Yeah, the Descent the Part series. 2.
Yeah, so them moving forward with that through line, I think is very cool. Plus, you do get to see what happened in the Seven of Nine. There's a possibility they might have killed Chakotay or maybe Icheb, because you see Seven of Nine holding somebody, obviously in some kind of a distressed state. And then she goes full-on Master Chief with dual-wielding phaser rifles, which is kind of cool, if a little ridiculous.
It's a little ridiculous, but I could definitely see her doing it and having the precision of the Borg implant still.
Exactly. Another thing I did kind of dig about this, obviously having Riker and Troi back is kind of fun. Seeing who these new characters are going to be some kind of like a Romulan swordsman joins them. That's kind of cool. Yeah, I mean, mostly I'm curious to see how the whole Hugh thing plays out, because he's wearing the same uniform that seems to be in the prison / android facility.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to see how that whole angle plays
out. I'm wondering if he infiltrated it, because I don't see him playing well with others when they're trying to hold captive people. Just based on his previous, you know, encounter and descent.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was turning into a leader, and so I see him more of like on Seven's side in this instance. But it was interesting to see him come back as well. And I'm curious about the new crew as well, but I don't know. I know the doctor, the cyberneticist, is the one that's been working on the androids and working on, you know, before. I'm assuming that we're going to get into some kind of a, like, I know this season's going to be heavy on the Romulans and the Borg. I'm thinking that they're going to have the android bits in there just as like, almost like planting an extra seed for season two, because I feel like season two, they're going to bring Data back.
Oh, sorry. Just brain firing off on all cylinders right now. What if when he's having flashbacks or seeing Data, it's not Data and it's Lore?
I don't think so.
They're not going to pull that, because, I mean, he's not actually gone. And last we saw, wasn't he in charge of other robots?
No. Data permanently deactivated him, and they put him in a housing chamber. Yeah, okay. And he put him in a housing Starfleet for study.
Okay, well then, that's something they could pull out of their hat if they ever had to.
Yeah, that's true. So they would have two Sung type androids as well.
Yeah,
so
they could easily do it where like they think he's back together, but it's not Data's neural pathways back. It's Lore's,
which would be kind of creepy. But
and with Riker and Troy back, they're not as jarring, because you're saying how weird Data looks. They're not as jarring because we saw them, like, they're the only ones that we saw like in uniform after Nemesis. Like, they were in that final episode of Enterprise, and
they were in Voyager a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they showed up, but even as they got older, they appeared a few years, 3 or 4 years after Nemesis in Enterprise. So, you know, they haven't, in the last 14 years, they haven't aged as much as you think.
Well, Riker looks particularly not as well as he did, but
he looks obviously. He looks like a grandpa now, Grandpa Riker. Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, you see him and it's like he's human, so he's going to age a certain way. And, you know, eventually she's going to feed him full of food so he can't go chasing down other women. So, and all I want to see him do, and they're going to have to do it, that he's going to have to do the thing where he steps over the seat to sit down. And I want to see him try it and then can't get over it because he's old.
I think he'll still do it. But yeah, I love the seat thing because it's hilarious. But no, one of the things I noticed with this series that's kind of unique is it kind of, and it's not unique at the same time, is they have enough time pass. Like, they show the Enterprise D like hologram inside Starfleet Command, and he has to spell out his name, and then they're like, you know, welcome back, you know, good to see you out again, you know, because he's put himself in this exile from some failed rescue attempt that they're saying is the problem, which probably has to do with Romulus being imploded. But the funny thing is they basically have the Star Trek Renegades plot line gone with Picard, much like they did with like Tuvok and like Chekhov in Renegades. It's like Picard is almost holding that flag there, and then he has his own Renegade crew, and they're just kind of, you know, going and righting the wrongs that Starfleet's gotten too crooked to take care of.
It's almost feeling like this was salvaged from those original ideas for the Captain Worf movies that were going to be done on Netflix, or that was the idea.
Well, I know that he's tried to pitch his own Worf series, and it's gotten canned, like, the idea.
Because it wasn't one of the ideas that he was going to be sort of going on, like, even not in the Defiant, but something similar, a small ship, stealth missions to go where the Starfleet doesn't, you know, necessarily want to go. and
that, and there were a couple of them that he was going to be in this, you know, on the Klingon side of things too, which I'd read. So it's, I don't know, it's kind of hard. They have made no intention of wanting to bring Worf back, or like Geordi, or like some of the others. I know that they're planning on getting Robert Picardo as the holographic doctor for season two.
Yeah, they'll get Will Wheaton because he's cheap and needs money. So
and he's got nothing going on. Yeah, they'll be like,
he has the geek cred and all that.
Well, he had, the last time he had anything Trek related, he was in Nemesis in the wedding scene, and then that was it. But you know, they had Guinan in there too. But I'd love to see Q come back just for the sake of witty banter.
That'll be hidden. Like, they will not let that leak until it airs.
No, because that would just be gold. But I think that the holographic doctor, the fact that they're talking about bringing him in for season two, is going to make the artificial light form question come into play with Data and the androids and the holograms and, you know, everything else that's not humanoid.
Yeah, and if they're doing all that, then they should bring Barclay back in.
Yeah, because Barclay was...
He could be advocate for like holographic life.
Holograms. Yeah, because he was pretty hardcore into the holograms and everything else, especially in Voyager. But yeah, I don't know. I'm really excited to see what they do with Picard. That's literally the only reason I would even think about CBS All Access, to be honest. I mean, I enjoyed season two of Discovery because of the Enterprise crew that crossed over, like Pike and everything else, because he was an awesome Captain Pike, but... I'm not really sure what they're going to do with season three of Discovery on that front. And I think that it's whatever they're doing here on Picard is going to tie directly into, the timeline of Discovery season three.
You think that they're going to try to converge them all?
I think, well,
they'll probably try because they want that cross promotion. They want to bring in the old school Trekkies who are like, rah, rah, TNG, well, Captain Picard.
They knocked, and sorry if you haven't seen this yet, Mike, but I'm going to say it.
Go ahead.
They knocked Discovery 930 years in the future.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was like, okay.
So what they've essentially done is pushed it to the point that it's past any other Trek series, even past the Battle of Procyon 5 that they mentioned in Enterprise with Daniels and the you know, the time travel war.
Yeah, because that was like year 3100 or something, right?
No, it was like the 28th century or something like that, or 29th century.
No,
he's from the 31st century, and so this kind of puts
it
puts Discovery in like the 32nd century, which means that something drastic has happened in that time span. When they showed the trailer for Discovery, there was only 6 stars on the United Federation of Planets logo that they had, and it was severely changed, and they were like very surprised to see a Starfleet vessel after that many years, or, you know, the relics of the uniform in general by that point. So I'm thinking that something is going to happen somewhere in Picard, because Picard takes place 20 years after Nemesis.
But one thing to remember is that this new one, the timeline is different in Discovery than what we're used to.
It's not really, they kind of tied it up in the last episode of season two. Yeah, they explained the whole reason of why Discovery and anybody was never mentioned, and they blacklisted anything that had to do with it, with threats of treason and the death penalty per Spock.
You're right. Now I was thinking, how do they? Some things were different, but I guess it's just the tech looks a little different. But yeah, they cleaned up some of it with the holographic stuff and all that.
Well, they got rid of the holographic stuff and everything else because Pike was a proponent to get rid of it, because then they, you know, the whole thing with Section 31 and control, they went back more basic because they didn't want something like that happening again. And then slowly started reintroducing some of that technology that showed up from Section 31. And Discovery is by far the most advanced ship in the fleet, even by the 24th century standards.
They basically I was going to say, there's the only thing more powerful would have been the Enterprise E with their quantum torpedoes, right? That's it.
Well, you'd almost, even Voyager, the transphasic torpedoes and the ablative plating that they used against the entire Borg fleet. I mean
as far as transportation goes, the discovery is beyond anything we've ever seen.
Yeah, you would think Janeway would have been loving to have that technology.
What, the show would have been a single episode. Well, we're back, and that's the end. Yeah. Or they would spend the next like 100 episodes figuring out who the hell the caretaker is, because we're still asking what the hell that was.
Yeah, they'll never resolve that.
No.
But
like the simplest thing would have been they're one of the Q.
That would have been the easiest way to go about it.
They do talk about the caretaker once or twice in Voyager after the first season, but yeah, never really again. Maybe it got resolved in a non-canon novel, but who the hell knows?
But yeah, so anyways, with Picard, I'm feeling like they're going to show more or less the start of the downfall of Starfleet and a variety of other things, which is going to totally throw out Star Trek Online out the window.
It was never canon to begin with.
Well, they kind of made it to be canon.
Yeah, but then they realized, man, we're making a game. Man, we have to keep updating events. This is a lot of work. It's well, like how still... The Matrix Online was supposed to be canon. No.
Yeah, you know what they did with the Discovery content?
There was never enough people playing Star Trek Online. If it was like...
Well, there still are.
No, but yeah, there's... I mean, dude, there's like maybe 100,000 people regularly playing.
Oh, less than that. The server populations are well under 5.
Okay, so then
the whales keep that game alive.
So it's
I'm a frequent player.
No, we're not saying anything against it. It's just for it to be canon, they would have to be in the like World of Warcraft 5 to 10 million players.
It would have to be doing Call of Duty numbers.
Like they would have to be pulling in like $1 billion a year from that for them to even consider making that canon, because then they have to find a way to explain things from that to the regular viewer. Because 99% of Trekkies out there have never played the game.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
I tell you from a game journalist.
I liked the game when it came out. Like I'm not trying to be disparaging to it. It's just the vast majority of the people. Okay, the vast majority of old school Trekkies are old enough to have never played an MMO and probably never will.
No,
and
true.
And the ones that are younger. Want to play one that has good graphics. That game does not have good
graphics. True. It's not terrible graphics either, but yeah, I mean, I get your point.
Its biggest failing is that it started out as an MMO. The fact that it didn't get ported to consoles till later hurt it. It never had the numbers it needed to be a wild success, because Trek, despite the... It's only recently that name has started to mean something again. It was a franchise in decline.
If it came out now as a free-to-play game, like a war, what is it, World of Tanks or any of those games, like Warframe, if it came out as a free-to-play and had all the lore in there, you'd get your several million people playing it. It was when it came out. I played it day one. I was the fool that bought a 3 or 4 month subscription at once and got 1 month into it and went, there's nothing here. And they took too long to get any content going on it.
Well, yeah. And see, the thing is then they got sold to another company, went free to play, and then they do the microtransaction thing now. And they do about every quarter, they have new, like totally new missions or a new episode. Like every year, like in the fall, they'll have a brand new episode come out. And and sometimes in the summer too, but they get a lot of the old cast to come back, and so they kind of keep fleshing out the timeline from way back from like Archer's era to the 27th century and whatnot. So you get to take place in all of these different places in Star Trek lore and kind of fill in some of the gaps through it, which is nice too. So you get some of the aspects the shows don't tell you.
It's probably been done, but if it hasn't, it would be really good for them or CBS to make Machinima out of it and like make individual videos, even if they're like an hour long, showing off the episodes, showing the storylines from each one. If you wanted to make a canon, you throw that up on like all their social media, or you make a an animated thing out of it to show off to fill the gaps between things, because that could be interesting, especially if it's well told, like the storylines, especially if didn't they get a lot of voice actors for it too?
Oh yeah, they've got a lot of the original actors from Trek heavily involved.
They'll do something when Picard launches, but I wouldn't expect to have much of an impact on the game. I'm actually surprised you didn't get something for the New York Comic Con stuff, just because it's frankly not a high, it's not a high priority because it doesn't bring eyeballs to the franchise.
Well, they,
it's frankly a dead game.
They do when they have the Star Trek celebration thing. When they have their Star Trek convention in Vegas or whatever, that's when they do all their giveaway stuff. Or during the February, like the their anniversaries, they'll have a bunch of giveaways too. So those are really the two times that they give things out.
They'll do something for Picard when it premieres on January 22nd.
Yeah,
I imagine they're still milking. They're still milking Discovery. They've been doing that for a little over a year. Before that, they had a lot of DS9 to correspond with the anniversary.
They'll probably produce a good half-hour special that can either go on CBS All Access or on YouTube or something that will sort of catch everybody, like, because they're going to want to capture new people that maybe never even saw TNG, because they're like, they're going after all the old fans, but they're still always going to want new people to show up. So they might produce a half hour or 1 hour, you know, recap on Picard's story throughout the series and movies.
I don't see them doing that. I see him saying, go back and watch the entire 7 seasons of TNG or watch these 12 episodes of Data and Picard and Hugh, and then watch these ones of 7 and then watch the movies.
The problem is, if they want to capture anybody under the age of 25, they're not going to do that. We're in an age now where nobody does that anymore.
Yeah, they'll just look it up on Wikipedia.
Alex has a point, though. If they are smart, CBS, Paramount, whoever the hell's in charge, they'll cut together a 5 to 10 minute YouTube clip show featuring all official clips. They'll get it voiced by either Patrick Stewart or John DeLancey or somebody recounting the history so far. They're not going to spend a half hour. That's too much money.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe 8 to 10 minutes.
Probably not even that, because you're looking at the average attention span. You'll get someone for about 5 minutes, maybe 7 at the outset. Or maybe if they're smart, they'll do a recap each week leading up to Picard. You're going to see something prior to the Super Bowl for sure. You'll probably see something big drop around Christmas time, if that's what I would do if I was in charge of the marketing for this. But think small, because this is on CBS All Access. Yes, they've put money into it, but they're putting it behind a paywall. Except in Canada, it goes terrestrial broadcast. So,
okay, so I should correct that. I wouldn't be surprised if CTV, what are they calling it? CTV Sci-Fi, if they do a half-hour special beforehand. Because they've done
something.
They did that for Discovery. They did a half-hour, here's what you need to know.
Well, they'll probably have an After Tracks for it, for Picard, and then they'll have somebody like divulge like a lot of the back history of it.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me, because looking, I didn't realize, unlike Discovery, where Netflix was the international distributor outside of the States and Canada, it's Amazon this time. And within 24 hours of showing it, they're going to have it on Amazon. So, funny enough, I'm willing to bet the best quality copy you can get would be anywhere outside of North America, because the Amazon service has HDR, 4K, Dolby Atmos surround, none of which are on any of the other platforms here. Like Crave is like CBS All Access, like it's nothing. But it is going to air terrestrially here an hour before it does in the States. So the weird thing behind that is, you'd figure that they would want to release it at the exact same time everywhere, because there's going to be a crap ton of people internationally that just pirate the episode immediately after it airs, or even during, or even right before it airs, like the rest of the world waiting 24 hours. What's the point? Amazon's not going to get any views. Everybody's going to get copies or find streaming services that have it, you know, find ways around geo-blocking and watch it either on Crave in Canada, or they're going to watch the copy on CBS.
Either way, I'm very excited for the show and for the revival and bring back of Picard and a lot of the old staples of the 24th century, even if they're brief.
I think there's a lot riding on this more than just the Star Trek name. This will make or break CBS All Access, because Discovery is doing okay, in my opinion. It did pretty well in its second season, but people want Picard. Let's be frank here. They want old Trek. They want to bring in all the old Trekkies because they have a lot of money. That's a lot of eyes to bring back to the franchise. And younger people like Discovery, but frankly, younger people can take or leave projects as they come and go.
Yeah, pretty much.
Trekkies are very loyal to their particular brand. They will spend the money. They will go out of their way to be brand loyal and be brand ambassadors towards it. So if Picard fails, which it likely won't, you're going to see something happen to CBS All Access. The fact that they're already talking about a second season is likely a very good sign, because Patrick Stewart has said the showrunners convinced him to come back. He wasn't going to do any more Trek, which means this is likely not a cash grab. Patrick Stewart strikes me as the kind of guy who has enough integrity where he believes in the product from an artistic vision and artistic interpretation as an actor. So odds are it won't be stupid, but there's a possibility this could fail. And a lot of Trek fans need to be prepared for
and,
that.
And the other thing too is, like, I've noticed since Discovery had season two with Pike and Spock and Number One and the Enterprise, despite the small changes that they've done, you know, just for the budget wise, people really enjoyed Anson Mount's Captain Pike and are clamoring for a Captain Pike show now with, like, the Enterprise crew of that era before Kirk, which I, to be honest, I would probably get on board with that just because he kind of has, like, the best of all the different captains kind of rolled in.
Well, and if they did it, they wouldn't do it long term because they wouldn't want to take away from
Discovery.
Their main series. What they would do is they would make it probably a 6-episode series, and it would be what leads to him basically becoming crippled and Kirk taking
over. Well, they already showed that.
Yeah, they showed it in his flash forwards, but, like, it would be something where it would lead directly into the pilot of the original series.
Yeah, I mean, I could see them doing that as well, but right now they're kind of experimenting with using them in the short tracks, which is why they've all kind of been recurring throughout that. And there's still talks that somehow some of the cast from Discovery is going to somehow end up back in the 23rd century. I don't see how, but I'm not really attached to Discovery all that much. And the only reason I cared about season two is because of what they brought with it. And that was Pike and the Enterprise crew. Like, beyond that, like, I honestly don't care.
Yeah.
It's just another like off world, like dystopian future sci-fi flick with, you know, and they're not even going to really use the Discovery in it.
I like season two. I really do. From what I've seen, three quarters of it. I don't like how it's the Michael Burnham show.
I don't either.
But every show needs an anchor point.
But also, be quiet. All the social justice warriors will come after you because
she's the MacGuffin, though.
She's here's the problem. She's not a very good actress. Ooh.
I liked her on Walking Dead.
She's good. No, the problem is in this role, she's very melodramatic.
Stiff.
Everybody else is fine. She's not, but nobody wants to say anything because they're afraid of getting backlash. She got better in this season as it went on.
But you had a more dynamic captain.
Yeah. And didn't always entirely focus on her. But again, she's getting better and better, more comfortable in the role. But I actually don't see Discovery going past the third season. I feel like they're setting up Picard's show to be the way they can branch off, because now
passing the torch,
they can appease the executives that were so gung-ho against doing anything in the original timeline, because clearly the Discovery was not meant to be part of the same universe originally. And then with the insane backlash they got, they had to really change that for season two. But what I can see is them, like, being like, okay, so we can tell this whole arc because we know how pissed people are going to get if we don't finish an arc because of how pissed people got, with Enterprise, how abruptly they had to end that. Like, these are fans you do not screw over, or they have long memories.
Yes,
so,
they do.
So, you want to get the storyline going, because it's hitting all the right notes critically in the media for the diversity it has and the topics and blah blah blah. But you can finish the storyline probably in this season at the very most a fourth. They're not going to get enough episodes for syndication, but then again, they don't need it because they have their own streaming platform. But I could see them finishing this, the next season, having it be done with, doing the Picard, and then doing different focuses on different timelines. So it won't be necessarily another TNG show, but you might get a show like it's literally just like in the DS9, set it in the another quadrant even. Or you could do one on the Defiant, and then you do something with, Starfleet Command and have it be about Janeway when she's taken over to Starfleet Command.
I don't think that. I think a lot of the show doesn't matter about the fans. And I say this, and I preface this by this: the show's about money. The show's not been about storytelling right now. Whether it gets to season four will be. It'll probably happen because they need something to anchor CBS All Access. CBS All Access needs 5 shows, in my opinion, to be a viable streaming platform alternative. Picard, Discovery, and 3 more shows that are likely in development right now.
Well, because there's Twilight Zone didn't cut it. It was not as well received or watched as much as people thought it was going to be. It's not bad
because it got no advertisement.
But that's the problem. And it for a syndicated show or for a show like that, it needed more than 10 or 11 episodes. The Twilight Zone seasons were always 20 to 26 episodes, and they need enough that people can binge through it.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying Star Trek Discovery, in my opinion, if it's successful, we'll get 5 seasons. Then after that, it goes on a season-by-season basis. Because as a show goes on, it gets more expensive to produce. People will start to get raises. People start to get paid more. The writers, the overhead for the show increases. Will you see new Star Trek? It'll depend on how successful Picard is, how successful Discovery is. Discovery's taking a lot of risk with the franchise. I feel they're using this as a gauge. How far can we push new fans and old fans? Picard, they know they've got people interested. That's why they got Patrick Stewart. That's why they got Brent Spiner, Jonathan Frakes, et cetera, because I know that's going to bring eyes into the franchise, established eyes. Whether it brings in new eyes, I don't know. And that'll vastly depend on how well the show does in its first 2 or 3 episodes. Will it get people hooked? Discovery had a very slow first season. I didn't give a shit for the first 5 episodes. After that, I kind of cared.
I hated the first season.
Exactly. And the fact that Discovery survived that is surprising because it's a lot of risk.
Here's a question. What other franchise, because it's franchises what brings in the viewers now. It's not starting new things, really. You start a new thing on a streaming platform that very few people have or care about, they're not going to bother. They're going to wait till they have a DVD or a Blu-ray they can get or buy copies on iTunes. They're not going to necessarily migrate to your streaming platform. But thinking about what other franchises that Paramount itself owns, and you've got what? Mission Impossible?
I think they own the Jason Bourne series, but that doesn't premiere until January. I don't think so.
And that's not on there, is it? That's on like USA Network or something.
Yeah, it's on USA, but I think they have some kind of a stake in it. I don't know.
But the thing is, like, as far as big franchises that they own that have had really successful TV series before, Mission Impossible would be one. Set it in that universe, and you've got an action show. It's got to be cheaper than making one with lots of sci-fi stuff. Maybe if you want to go capture the older audience, because like Trekkies are older people for the most part, go into your library, go like, do they own the Munsters or something? Go into the nostalgia trend of the 60s and 70s, pick up shows that you could just modernize, the hell out of, throw them up there. They're cheaper to produce and you can play on people's nostalgia heartstrings. So you get like people our parents' age that would maybe subscribe. And then you get us to go, well, there's more content on here now. Now we've got 10 different shows airing. The problem is they only ever have 1 to 2 television shows per season that's airing. Like, so you got like, what, 2 shows a week you can watch at the most? And then the back catalog, even Netflix is smart. Like, Netflix drops everything at once, but they're following this traditional route of dropping a single episode at a time. And the only reason for that is actually Canada. So sorry about that. Because if it wasn't for us, they would just drop every episode at once. But because we're showing it on terrestrial TV, they have to do it week by week. Now,
which sucks.
Yeah, kind of sucks. Because I'd love to binge that shit. But I almost feel like they should, you know, if they want to get something, they should get stuff that's not just from CBS. They should contact MGM, who currently has no partner in streaming. Because MGM has Stargate. MGM has a lot of other stuff that they used to produce on television back in the day that they're sitting on the rights for, that they don't have enough money to make things themselves. But they could easily be licensing their properties out. You want to go with a 1-2 punch? You give us an episode of Picard and then an episode of some new Stargate show back to back. And even if it's like, you know, set it on Fridays or something, then make it like the old Sci-Fi Fridays used to be, where you had 3 hours of like space-based shows. Give us programming blocks, not this, it drops on Sundays at this time, and then our only other show of the week drops on Thursdays at another time. Like, why would I switch to your streaming platform to watch a singular thing when I could, you know, be watching, you know, a television channel for the entire evening?
That's why I'm saying this CBS All Access, they're taking risks to establish anchor programming right now, and they've got two potential winners right now, but they don't have enough to, as you say, hold a programming block. You have an evening of television, and a typical evening of television starts at 8 p.m., ends at 11, so they need one more show to create a night.
Yeah, like very, very quickly, I'll just tell you, they only have a few shows they're currently programming right now. They have The Good Fight, which is, I think, a spinoff of The Good Wife. It's a legal drama. Star Trek Discovery and Strange Angel. They have three dramas, and they all air in different, like, in 4-month blocks throughout the year. So they don't air at the same time. Then you have Picard coming. Comedy, they have No Activity, which is a really cheap cop sort of sitcom thing. And then Why Women Kill, comedy drama. They literally have currently airing 5 scripted shows that aren't anthologies, and then they have Short Treks, which doesn't really count. They're only 10-15 minutes. There's Tell Me a Story, which is a psychological thriller, and The Twilight Zone, which was renewed, but again, only had 10 episodes. So they've got less than 10 shows they've produced, and that's over the span of 2.5 years.
Yeah, and to be honest, like, I don't like the fact that we're stuck behind a paywall. That's ultimately my main issue. Like, I would much rather watch it on television.
Yeah, like I'm not a subscriber, you know, of cable package in the traditional sense. I have IPTV, and so I get a bunch of different channels. But like for the average, you know, older family, they're going to have basic cable, and CTV Sci-Fi it's not on the basic cable package of like 30 channels. It's on the one tier up, so you're still got to pay like $50 to get that channel. If they were smart, because like CTV in Canada really doesn't have a lot of original programming or things that are good. They just basically cycle in American shows. If they were smart in Canada, they just show it on CTV, because they did it for the first episode, just like CBS did the first episode of. And that's the one thing too. Picard, the first episode should be airing on CBS to promote it, just like they did with Discovery the first time. And they're not doing that this time, even though that would guarantee them so many views. Like, and as far as upcoming programs, they have Star Trek Lower Decks. That's the comedy, the animated one.
I have no interest in those.
That's not going to put butts in seats. Interrogation, true crime drama. Nope. Because don't we get enough of those on Netflix, and they're probably going to be better made? The Man Who Fell to Earth, science fiction, to be determined when it's coming out. And they got the miniseries of The Stand. And then they have development, Life of Muhammad Ali, miniseries, Girls with Guns. Like, these all sound like early 90s really bad USA Network TV shows, the ones that I would buy on DVD because I'm a complete masochist. But like the untitled Philippa Georgiou sci-fi series, okay, we're like 2 years away from the Star Trek series.
Well, and she's 900 years in the future now. So now they got to figure out how to get her back to the 23rd century, because they said that's where Section 31 is going to take place.
Yeah. And so, then, you know, and one called You're Killing Me. They have nothing. They're relying entirely on Star Trek, but they're not producing anything worthwhile outside of Picard.
Yeah.
So you've got 15 shows. and only half of which have even aired and probably will air for the next couple of years. So, Mike, you're right. They really do need to give us, like, from September to May, we need to have about five shows we want to watch.
All Star Trek. No.
That's my television background speaking. I could have been an executive.
He's an important person. So anyways. So yeah, so I guess it would be interesting to see what people think about this in the whole problem of CBS All Access and the fact that Picard's pretty much their main anchor at this point. Because people could take or leave the rest of the series. So let us know by sending an email to feedback@thisweekingeek.net or feedback@alteredgeek.com, or hit us up on social media. So we have been, for this episode of Future Imperfect,
Mike the Birdman Dauntless, known as your commander who's always chowing down on a bowl of delicious tribbles. Spicy habanero ranch.
I thought you were going to say gah.
Nah. Habanero yes. Ranch tribbles.
And Alex, who will not challenge Data to an arm wrestling match.
Yes, and I've been Admiral Phillips on this episode of Future Imperfect. So until next time, live long and prosper.